Omaha Public Radio presents another luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club on Noon Forum. On today's program, we'll hear a talk by Don Seidholz, chairman of the steering committee of the Missouri River Commons, a coalition of business, community, government, and philanthropic leaders, whose purpose is the further development of the Omaha Riverfront. Mr. Seidholz will talk about the work of the committee and what's in the works for the coming years. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Thursday afternoon, January 19, 2017, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of the Omaha Press Club, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the program is our moderator, Gary Kerr, a member of the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee.
Well, my wife and I were on the riverfront in 2001 when Lewis and Clark Landing was dedicated. It is what we think of today when we think of the riverfront. And to appreciate it, you have to remember what was there before, that Asarco lead smelting plant and nearby auto salvage and junkyards. Nobody planned a fun trip to the riverfront in those days, and I mean nobody. Well, now there's a group that wants to take the next step. What is that step, and how will we get there? Our guest today to explain that is Don Seidholz, the chairman of the steering committee for what's called the Missouri River Commons. We'll have some time for questions after Don finishes his presentation. There is paper and pencil at your table, so please write down your questions, and they will be brought to me to ask from the podium. So join me in welcoming Don Seidholz.
Turnout here. Thank you all for coming. Obviously, this must be a pretty hot topic for the community. I'm going to start with a little story about how I got involved in all this, and it goes back about 20-plus years. I had just gotten to town to run a group of radio stations, and I got a call from a guy named John Blazek, who many of you probably know, who at the time was in the chief of staff for Hal Daub. And John suggested that Hal had something very important he wanted to talk to me about, and he wanted to meet me at Rex Fisher's office over in the old Quest building. And so I said, well, sure, I'll come down and we'll meet. So I get up there and in the room, and Rex's office is much like this, overlooks, you know, the riverfront, the industrial area. And I get up there, and it's Rex, Brad Ashford, and Brinker Harding, as a matter of fact. Brinker, you were at that meeting, weren't you? Well, long story short is I couldn't figure out what I'm doing there other than, you know, Hal wanted to do editorials on KFAB or something. But he starts launching and pulls me over to the window, and he starts doing this. And those of you that know Hal, I mean, his eyes start bugging out of his head, and he starts talking about, look, see this over here, this over here, this. And I'm, you know, I just got to town a week before, so I have no idea what's going on here. And I looked over to Brad, and I said, Brad, what's going on? Well, to translate for you, Don, Hal is very excited about the riverfront, and he wants you to share the same vision that he has. And fast forward, I mean, I'm still involved, and I'm real excited about what's going on here. And I wanted to take you back a little bit. The reason why rivers are so important around here is we essentially started as a riverfront community. Council Bluffs was, you know, basically the first city on the river. And it even goes back further than that to the Lewis and Clark Landing. And the river became the focal point of both communities, Council Bluffs and Omaha. And for years, people have been, you know, basically trying to figure out what to do with the riverfront. And it's through nobody's fault. I mean, it's basically just because nobody's really coordinated the effort. I mean, I go back 1971. How many of you remember Return to the River? This was in 1971, and there was a group that talked about what we could be doing with the riverfront. And, in fact, there's a little map in here. And I don't know if any – well, you can't see it from here. But this shows a rendering in 1971 of what everybody thought the riverfront could be. And if you look over my shoulder here, you can see that's pretty much what happened. But fast forward, I mean, there were a lot of things that were talked about, but there was really no coordination going on. And we had changes in the economy. We had changes in the political scenario. And, you know, long story short is A lot of good intentions, but nothing ever physically got done. And so as we got further into this thing, we got the Quest Center built, or the Century Vitel Center built. And, you know, that was a major step, getting rid of the Asarco plant and all the pollution and everything that went along with it. And then from there, a lot of, again, good conversations, and nothing really got done. And so fast forward to about 5 years ago, we started having some meetings with various political leaders in the community. And, you know, I go back, and I hope I haven't left anybody out, but it was David Brown, Matt Walsh, Larry Foster, Charlie Isley, Jerry Banks, Linda Lovgren, Dana Markle, Roger Dixon, Brooke Bench, Cassie Pabin. And we kind of talked about what could be done down there. And this went on for about 4 years. Nobody really came to any conclusion on what we could do. And a friend of mine suggested that we look into hiring the Urban Land Institute to do a study on what potentially could be done in the riverfront. And how many of you are familiar with that study? Now, that was it was a long and arduous process raising the money for it because nobody really understood what it was for. But we actually raised the money after about a year and a half and brought them in. And what the Urban Land Institute study did was it was designed to create a dialogue with the community on the riverfront. They made some recommendations. I think there were 10 people that had experience on riverfronts all over the country, and they came in and made some recommendations, and the recommendations were painfully obvious to those of us that live here. One is that where is the riverfront? We put them all up at the Hilton, and first thing they told me the next morning was we couldn't find the riverfront. And so that was one of the things that came out of it, is they suggested that we needed to do a better job of marketing the riverfront, letting people know where it was. Access was another issue. The access to the riverfront is sketchy at best. I mean, Capitol kind of stops one area and then north of the convention center, and there's really no real easy way to get down there. And then the other thing was, what's going on? Why would people want to come to the riverfront? And, you know, we were all sitting there going, well, this is painfully obvious. What do we do about it? And they came up with some suggestions. And one thing I will tell you is that this is readily available online. This is the Urban Land Institute study. And it was really interesting in that they did not get into concrete, hard development type recommendations. I mean, they told us, you know, here generically is what you need to do. You want to get people thinking about the riverfront. You want to have things going on down there. So we took that. And we formed another committee, yes, yet another committee, called Missouri River Commons. And after much discussion, and I'm really proud of this. I mean, did they hand out the list of all the committee members? Everybody on that committee was picked for a reason. We don't expect to do a lot of meetings. We don't expect a lot of heavy lifting, but there are people on that list that you know, bring skill sets to the table that we need to make this thing happen. And the goal of the Missouri River Commons Group, and again, I don't want to get into too much detail because you've got it in front of you, is we want to come together with both sides of the river and activate the riverfront. Now, make no mistake, we're not involved in the development part of it. I mean, we're not going to talk about what we're going to build down there or, you know, what kinds of things are going to help the infrastructure there. It's all about activating the riverfront. And the ULI people strongly recommended that we try and create a major league event down there along the lines of the Memphis Blues Festival or Lollapalooza in Chicago, something like that. But the idea is to make it happen on both sides of the river. And one thing that I really need to make clear is that this is the Missouri River Commons Group. It's not the Omaha or Council Bluffs. And I've got to tell you, one of the most rewarding things about being involved in all this is Cassie, you can speak for the mayor on the Omaha side. And Matt Walsh, where are you? There's Matt. This would not be happening if it wasn't for the cooperation between Gene Stothert and her folks and Matt Walsh and his folks. And I can't remember the last time, at least in the years that I've been here, that both cities have worked together on something like this. And it's a full cooperation. I mean, Larry Foster, where are you? You'll pass. Larry and Brooke Bench, right there from the city of Omaha, have been working together with our committee on putting together an asset plan for the city so that we can coordinate events on both sides of the river simultaneously, which is a real exciting thing. And I, you know, I have a hard time believing that we never did it before, but it's basically because nobody's really even talked about it. And that's one of the things we're talking about. The other real exciting thing that we're about to announce is that we're going to hire an executive director. You know, in fact, I think we made an offer yesterday to hire an executive director to come in and do basically everything that needs to be done to get people to come down to the riverfront. And that, it, you know, we've done some great things down there, some on both sides of the river, but I think this gives us an opportunity to go way beyond that and, again, to bring in national-type festivals, national-type events. And then concurrently, I mean, some of you probably have heard, I mean, there are a lot of conversations going on about developments around the area. I mean, I have to call out, where's Jaylon? Some of the work that you're doing in Blackstone is only going to add to this. Where's Mike Moylan, Mr. Capital District? I mean, all the things that are going on around this area are going to add to the excitement and the things that are going to happen in the future with the riverfront. And, you know, the one thing that we as a committee have been trying to do is just get the word out, you know, tell people like you what's going on and gather and sort of an organic community support for this thing. So it's going to take a lot of heavy lifting from the community. I mean, it's going to take a lot of people rolling up their sleeves and doing the work. I think we've got a good start on this thing. Cautiously optimistic is the word I would use. But, you know, we seem to have a lot of support from the community. You know, the fundraising that you're looking at, that was completed. Patty, where are you? Patty McAtee is the stellar fundraiser for the Chamber of Commerce, and she pulled this off in record time. I think we reached our goal, what, a month ago? So, you know, we went out and raised $500,000 from a variety of sources, really supportive people. So we know that the support's there for that, and we'll probably need some more funds down the road as we get into this a little further, but you know, that's not our concern. I mean, we're just concerned that people are talking about it, that there's a dialogue, and that people recognize what we're trying to do. I mean, we're not trying to change the world here. We're just trying to get people down to the riverfront. So anyway, with that said, I'd like to introduce Matt and Brooke Bench, and then we'll open this thing up for questions. And I just wanted you guys to talk a little bit about the cooperation. Matt Walsh is the mayor of Council Bluffs, and Brooke Bench is the director of Parks and Recs in Omaha.
Good afternoon, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Matt Walsh, the mayor of the city of Council Bluffs. And obviously, the Missouri River is the river that binds our two communities together. And over the last 4 years or so, we have worked closely with the city of Omaha. And one of the thanks to Don and thanks for Gary to having us here today. But one of the principal role players in this effort has been the Omaha Chamber of Commerce. About the first week that I was in office, we signed a mutual economic development agreement to regionally market the metropolitan area, and that has been extremely successful. I was a little cautiously optimistic initially, being the smaller community, that we would get the representation that I felt we deserved, and I would tell you that it has far exceeded that. And so thanks to David Brown and the Omaha Chamber of Commerce, and David helped put this initiative together. It really, we've seen so many large cities that activate their riverfront, and it becomes an attraction for for activity, for festivals, for concerts, for events, and probably starting with some of the things that Harlan Noddle did, and the fact that Bob Carey was able to secure financing for the Bob Carey Bridge that for many years went, the term was, a bridge to nowhere. Well, if you look at the Council Bluffs side of the river today, that's no longer the case. We have a beautiful lawn facility that annually hosts large concerts, that hosts festivals. Lewis and Clark Landing does the same, but competition has grown. Midtown has opportunities for those same experiences. Exarban Village does, and we've had two restaurateurs down on the riverfront who really suffered from the fact that we just never created that critical mass of potential customers to come down there. As Don mentioned, it was difficult to find your way down there, especially if you're not from here. It's out of sight, out of mind. So you don't think about going down to stores or Rick's Boatyard. And so we felt it vital that we create activity on the riverfront to bring people back down to the riverfront if it was going to be successful. And since both cities have great facilities there, why not market those together, which is the aim of the hire that we just had. Will help market the riverfront for future activities. When I grew up, my mom told me to stay away from the riverfront. It's channelized, it's fast, and perceived as dangerous. You'd be shocked to tell you that we used to go down to the Council Bluffs Waterworks and dive in and body surf down about a quarter of a mile before you even had to come up out of the water. But we don't want people doing that. But we do want activity down there, and this is a great opportunity, again, for both communities to share success, to grow our communities and make them much more attractive places to live, work, and do business. So we're excited. We hope you are. We spent time, money, and we think that it's going to be a great result. So thanks again for coming, and have a great day, and I'll turn it over to Brooke.
Thank you, Mayor.
As the mayor said and summed it up, I think the biggest thing, and Larry Foster should be up here too because he's a big component of this, but the biggest thing that we've done over the last year or so is we've worked on a plan that shows what all of our assets are. And Larry's staff we've worked close with Council Bluffs on everything that they have on their side of the river and everything that we have on our side of the river, and putting them together and trying to make the events that we already have and future events better. So I think when you see all the things that we have, a lot of people aren't aware. A lot of people haven't been down to the river for some things. But with the future events, I know me and Larry are meeting next week on a possible a race event that would take place in the river. So there are a lot of things on the horizon. The one thing about what Mr. Kerr had said about the riverfront is it does have a lot of challenges. Being the oldest Sargo plant and being a Superfund site, we have to work through a lot of things that are down there with the environmental cap. So it does have issues and challenges, but we're working through all of those, and I still think that we can have a very vibrant riverfront and a lot of activity on the riverfront. And with the plans that are in place, I think exciting things are going to be on the horizon. So moving forward, I think it will be very exciting. There will be a lot of neat events going on down there. But I can't stress enough, there's challenges with the seawall, with the environmental issues, and working through all them, in which we have. And now I think we're finally getting to the point where we can really start moving forward. I think it's going to be very exciting.
Great. Thank you, Brooke.
You bet.
You know, to that effect, I, you know, wanted to point something out to you that, you know, and I've done a ton of research on riverfronts all over the country. The last count, I think I've talked to like 75 riverfront directors of all sizes, going from like Washington, D.C. and Baltimore and Sacramento to places like St. Charles, Illinois. Because of the way that the country developed, the riverfronts were the center point, the focal point of all things development, which means industry, waste, sewage, I mean, all of the, you know, the good things along with the bad things. And every city that I've talked to has been through the same kinds of challenges that we have. I mean, it's amazing, but I mean, Kansas City had the same problem with their plants on the riverfront that we have. St. Louis is the same way. Pittsburgh, I mean, you can only guess what was going on there. But the good news is that all of these cities came together at a certain point and made things happen on the riverfront. And, you know, just because we're a little bit behind doesn't mean that we're any worse off than anybody else. I mean, they all went through the same long-time struggle to get their riverfronts developed. I mean, the ULI people told me this point blank. They said, don't get frustrated. Don't give up. Get the community engaged. Get them involved because it will happen. And they didn't say if. They said it will happen. And I wanted to kind of point out just the kind of support that we've got. Read you off a partial list of the donors to the Urban Land Institute study. Of course, the cities of Omaha and Council Bluffs both contributed. Iowa West, BNSF, Gallup, ConAgra, John Gottschalk, Susie Buffett, Walter Scott, New Style Development. Todd, where are you? Are you here somewhere? Thank you very much, by the way. Mecca, Back to the River, Hal Dobb, and the Council Bluffs and Greater Omaha Chamber of Commerce, and our governor, Pete Ricketts. So that's the kind of support we had just for the Urban Land Institute phase of the study. And then as far as the fundraising goes for Patty, I mean, you can tell, I mean, it's all over the board. I mean, we've had, you know, all walks of life. I mean, Lou Lamberty did a great job raising some money from people down on the riverfront. But, you know, the good news is, you know, as the Urban Land Institute people told us, is that there is now dialogue going on. And there are a lot of things going on in the riverfront area in terms of development that, you know, you probably know more about it than I do, but it's real exciting to hear this stuff. I mean, you know, I heard somebody mention the streetcar the other day, which would be really exciting. But anyway, the bottom line is that, you know, we're at a good time and a good place for this, and the fact that you all chose to spend your lunch hour with us to hear about this is very, very encouraging. And I would encourage you, if you'd like to get involved, I mean, we've always got a place for you. No question about that. But, I mean, we have a chance to be a part of something that will be a legacy for generations to come. And I truly believe that. I truly believe that. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Gary. Sure.
Remember, there are pieces of paper, pencil on your table. Please write down any questions that you might have, and they will be brought up to ask of Don. But, Don, I want to get started here a little bit before we get those questions from people. Is there any kind of a timeline? I mean, are you saying 5 years from now we want to see X? Where is that?
The timeline, you know, our first goal, and we've got a full-year plan set up, strategy, tactics, everything included for the Missouri River Commons Activation Group. And the first goal is to get this person hired, which, you know, I'm hopeful we can announce that today or tomorrow, and then go from there, basically just rounding up all the supporters and the people that are willing to raise their hand and get involved with this thing and start figuring out just exactly what we're going to do to create a difference down there. And I think, you know, and I can't tell you how much help Larry and Brooke have been and Cassie and Matt on, you know, basically making sure, again, I keep going back to this coordination thing. That's vitally important. And the one thing the Urban Land Institute people pointed out to us was that we are in an uncommonly good place in that this river is so short, or not wide. Peoria's got a wonderful riverfront down there, but they only work on one side. And most of the cities that we interviewed and talked to only work on one side. So we've got an opportunity here with all of the support from both sides of the river to really come up with a world-class, not just one event, but a series of events. And a little bit about the asset plan that Larry and Brooke have created. I mean, we basically have outlined the places where we can put stages on both sides, where all the parking is on both sides. We've talked about using the Bob Carey Bridge as an access point. So if we've got a paid event that's going on both sides of the river, we've got a way where we can keep track of ticket holders on both sides of the river, which has never really happened before. It's really interesting. So the timing, I think the first year is going to be the heavy lifting. I mean, once we get this first year behind us, I think it's off to the races. I mean, we're looking at having one, if not several, major events on the riverfront within the next 18 months.
You know, the environmental problems were mentioned. Do you see any kind of structural changes that can take place? I mean, we got the closed restaurant there now. Obviously, people would like to see something else go in there or address that in some way. Give us a sense of that.
Well, the environmental issues, they are what they are. I mean, you know, these some of the most contaminated property in the Midwest lies underneath Lewis and Clark, and we're limited to a certain extent what we can do with, you know, the EPA concerns of that. But that is not—it's not unique to Omaha. I mean, I just moved back here last year from Chicago, and those of you that are familiar with Frank Gehry and Millennium Park, that was the most contaminated piece of property on the planet. And they figured out a way to build a world-class park on top of that. Now, I'm cautiously optimistic that, you know, we're faced with the same challenges, but we'll figure out a way to make those things work. And if you look at the list of people that are on our committee, I mean, there's some people from the Army Corps of Engineers. I mean, we're not taking this lightly. I mean, the last thing we want to do is have all of this going on the riverfront and then have a flood come in. And, I mean, Brooke, what the marina on the river, we've got how many stalls there? And we have to dredge that out every year. Well, you know, I mean, that's one of the considerations. I mean, is there a way that we can reconfigure something down there so that we don't have to dredge those stalls every year? But those things are being considered, so it's not like we're in a vacuum here on that.
Questions from our audience, and you already addressed some of this, but we'll have another go at it. When do you foresee hosting the first festivals on the riverfront?
We're looking at July 2nd. Not. who asked that question? This is a nonprofit organization. I'm not a paid employee. I'm not going to stick my neck out. No, actually, we would like to have, we don't have to start off big. I mean, there are a lot of things that we can do in the interim to get some activity down there. And, you know, the reality of festival promotion these days is that it's about an 18-month in advance event. I mean, you've got to go out and identify talent and talk to promoters and so on and so forth. So I think the real big ones, barring us stealing one from somebody else and, you know, off the record, that's something we've considered. If we can go out to other communities that may have events that may fit the profile of what we've got to offer, I mean, we're all for doing that. I mean, rather do that than recreate something on our own.
How much cooperation are you getting with the other projects being planned? Lot B is mentioned, the Civic. And I guess a part of that is, you know, there's some sense that we need to move the old market in downtown closer to the river to get things really going down there. Is there any of that in the planning?
Well, needless to say, there is an awful lot going on, and I see a lot of my real estate friends here who, you know, probably won't say much in public. But, yes, those conversations are going on, and they are being coordinated by the people that need to coordinate them. You know, there are all sorts of rumors floating around about Gene Leahy Mall and what's going to happen with the Civic. But, you know, the good news is these conversations are happening. I mean, I can't emphasize how important it is that this is going on, because all of this will ultimately affect the riverfront. You know, and it's kind of a chicken or the egg thing. I mean, will, you know, if we get the riverfront going, will it help move these things along? Yeah, maybe. But I think if we're all doing this and talking about it concurrently, you know, I see nothing but great things coming out of this.
Questioner wants to know how many paid employees, and I assume that has to do with the committee. You mentioned one person that's going to be hired.
Well, I mean, this one person will be the only paid employee. Now, you know, truth be told, is that the chamber is supplying a lot of support, in-kind support for this. I mean, this person will be housed at the chamber. They'll report to David Brown. And, of course, they'll have reporting responsibilities to the rest of the committee when needed. But we don't look at this being a top-heavy organization, at least to start. Now, the model for this, and I don't know, how many of you are familiar with the Louisville Riverfront? Anybody been there? A few of you. They were my shining example of how to do these things. And they started theirs 20 years ago. Same scenario, you know, industry all over the river, no residents, nothing to do down there. They hired one person, paid him what we're going to pay our person. Their budget was $150,000 a year for the first 3 years, which is close to what we're doing. And they now have, I think, 200 employees and a budget of like $8 million. And it all grew organically. I mean, this is not, it's not a for-profit operation, but, I mean, there are all sorts of things that they control and that they have input to. And that's what, honestly, that's what we're hoping for here. You know, I would be thrilled if we, you know, in year two, we come to the realization that we need to hire four more people to help implement these things. I mean, that would be just, I mean, it's everybody's dream.
You've also talked about this, but the question wants to know, what do you want it to look like when you're finished? I mean, we've got what's there now on this side and work being done on the Council Bluffs side. I mean, do you see... Tell us what you see.
You know, it's hard to tell. Like I said, I mean, I've got... Let's pull up my list of riverfront communities that I have seen over the years. I mean, we're talking Richmond, Virginia, Milwaukee, Davenport, Sacramento, Bradenton, Florida, Baltimore, Pittsburgh. I mean, they all are different. And they all have different challenges. They all have different river flows, floodplains, contamination, so on and so forth. I mean, it's really going to come down to what the city, after their analysis, the cities, excuse me, after they look at things, decide, you know, what's in the best interest of the city and what can we maintain. I mean, we can't dig too far down. I mean, I know that. I know we have to consider the floodplain. But again, I go back to Millennium Park. I mean, I look what they've done with that, and there wasn't anybody in Chicago that said that that would be a possibility. And you look at it now, and it's a world-class park. And I've got to believe if we do the right conversation and analysis that we can end up with something that's equally as impressive.
Some of these, you mentioned a bunch of cities. Do they have, is their focus mostly on festivals, is it mostly on restaurants slash other businesses along the riverfront to bring people in, get them going? How does all that come together?
Well, interestingly, it starts with the traffic. I mean, the traffic drives everything else that goes on. And, I mean, if you look at Peoria, and they do just a fabulous job. I mean, every week I get a note from the Peoria Riverfront Association, and they have something going on every week. And it runs the gamut. There are restaurants that have come down and gone on the river. There's a health club on the riverfront, a city-owned health club that they maintain on the riverfront. But if you look at all of the examples of the riverfronts that I've looked at, the activity on the river is what drives the development. Now, we're in a unique situation in that we've got a lot of development going on concurrently, which some of these other cities didn't have. But I've got to believe that if, you know, the river becomes a place for people to go, it's going to create more high-density living down there. I mean, developers like Mike and Todd are going to end up doing more developments down there because there are bigger crowds of people. But, again, I think the answer is it happens concurrently.
What is the vision of Missouri River Commons to engage existing businesses and organizations in activating the riverfront versus bringing efforts in from outside of our community?
Well, we wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for the local businesses. And, you know, I see a few of our supporter, Brian McGee, one of the first guys I met in Omaha 20-some-odd years ago with the Upstream. We've had this conversation. Holly Barrett with the downtown organization is on our committee. We are very, very reliant on them and input from them. And, you know, we've gotten a lot of great suggestions and look forward to helping create situations where we're going to help make their businesses better as well.
To what extent do you anticipate funding initiatives to affect cultural attractions throughout the area? How much money you got to make this work?
I can tell you that we as a community are in an enviable position when it comes to available funding and resources. You know, and I just point to the, you know, I wouldn't say it was easy. Patty will probably tell you it was horrible and she hated every minute of it. But I mean, you know, we did raise the money for the MRC in record time. And, you know, the ULI study was the same. But we have an unbelievable, untapped amount of foundation money and opportunity for them, providing we come up with the right plans. And, you know, I think that's up to all of us in the room to, you know, try and figure out, you know, where can we make a difference with this? But, you know, some of the other communities that I've talked to were just, you know, amazed. I, you know, spent a weekend in Nashville talking to the Parks Department, the Recs Department over there, and they were telling us about their foundations. And I was telling them about some of the things that the wonderful folks at Heritage and some of the other organizations do here, and he was just floored. And Nashville, last I looked, is probably, what, about four times the size of Omaha? So I don't, you know, money is not going to be the issue. The issue is going to be coming up with a good plan, a good strategy to maintain the things that we build, and a vision for the future. But, you know, I may be too optimistic, but I don't think so. I mean, I think, you know, there are a lot of people that, that see this as an opportunity to really change the landscape here. And I think we just have to give them some ideas on how to do it.
Do you get queries from businesses who say, boy, I would like to be down there. I would like to have something down there, whether it's a retail store, apartments. We already got some apartments. But is there interest in the business community to do this on their own?
Well, that's problematic. I mean, there's some areas around the area that you can do some things. But, I mean, you know, it's the reality is the city controls Lewis and Clark. I mean, that's the city's property. And, you know, if there's going to be any development down there, I mean, it's a major hurdle. I mean, you've got to consider, you know, the environmental issues, things like that. I can't imagine that if we start to get people to go down to the riverfront that they're not going to be looking at every available space surrounding the riverfront area in Lewis and Clark that's available for development. But, yeah, I mean, I get questions from, you know, restaurateurs and I mean, all sorts of folks that are interested in being involved in this, which I consider a great sign.
You haven't mentioned yet the Conagra campus, part of which is going to be available for whatever. But do people see that as a way to move back toward the riverfront? Are you having discussions along those lines?
I am not having any discussions with that. I share your thoughts on that. I think it's an incredible piece of property that offers up tremendous opportunity. But, you know, I mean, the ConAgra folks are the ones to talk to about that. Now, I will tell you that Chris Kircher is on the committee and has been very active with us on this phase of our communication. But, you know, I just can't comment on that. I don't know.
What about the closed restaurant, Don? Can you talk about that at all? What might happen there?
Well, again, the city owns that property, and I don't know. Two strikes, I'm not sure if it makes sense to consider doing that again. But, you know, again, I'd opt to Cassie and Brooke and what their vision for that is. My personal feeling is with, you know, Mr. Moylan's development and the restaurants that are going to be in there and some of the other new restaurants that are opening up around that, I mean, I question whether we really need a full-service restaurant on that property. I mean, it's kind of hard to build a park around a restaurant.
What are some of the thoughts or examples of ways and you've already addressed some of this, but of ways you will overcome the barriers you've mentioned that affect access to the riverfront currently. And I guess we're talking, you know, the old ASARCO stuff that's underneath there, railroad, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I've heard mentioned that there has been discussion that we may be expending capital. I'm not, you know, that's just kind of whispers in the coat room. The Baby Bob, I mean, you're all familiar with that, is well on its way, which is going to solve a lot of problems on the north end of the convention center. But those two, if there are action taken on those two projects, I mean, I think it solves a lot of the access. The ULI people mentioned simple things like, you know, like having more signs pointing to the riverfront, you know, basically telling people that there it is. I mean, it was amazing. I just had breakfast with those guys after they spent the night at the Hilton over here, and they said, first question, where's the riverfront? And, you know, it's true. I mean, it's hard to see the riverfront from around here. So, you know, and I hate to bring it up, but the streetcar, I mean, if that happens, it's going to have a big impact on people having access to the riverfront because, you know, from what I've been told, it may run all the way down to 10th Street if it does happen. So.
Will the riverfront project elicit all Omaha Council Bluffs residents' ideas to construct novel events?
Absolutely. I mean, we can't put these things together in a vacuum and expect people to attend them. I mean, you know, what my idea of a big event would be is completely different from what somebody that lives in Council Bluffs might think. You know, we've got to take into consider all age groups, all genres. I mean, it. You know, if we were to put a country festival down there, I mean, we're going to eliminate anybody that might be interested in alternate rock or, you know, easy listening. Yeah, I mean, we will definitely be taking suggestions. And that's why the committee is set up the way it is, because I think it represents people from all walks of life on both sides of the river, along with people that can help with various different efforts that we're undertaking.
Last question. You know, you talked about strategy, plans. My sense is that we're really quite a ways away yet from having an idea of how this is all going to come together. And I guess maybe this is part of the timeline. When are you going to have your strategy? When are you going to have plans?
Well, we've got that right now. I mean, that's one of the things that the investors in the Missouri River Commons initiative asked for at the beginning. And it was one thing that I felt very important for us to have as we went out to solicit people to invest in this thing, is we wanted a first-year plan. And it's a rock-solid plan on where we want to be after 12 months and how far along we want to be in terms of creating events and getting things going. So we're not going to let any grass grow. I mean, this has been a long project. I mean, these conversations have been going on for years and years and years, and we have come a long, long way in the last 2.5 years. And I think there are a lot of people in town that are bound and determined to keep that pace up. And it's been, you know, rewarding to me. I mean, just looking at, you know, all of you folks in this room, I mean, the fact that you're actually here and you want to hear about this. I mean, if I'd have tried to do this 10 years ago, I mean, I probably would have had one. Probably Tom Beck would be the only one in here. See? But, no, this will not be something that you're not going to hear about. I mean, we intend to keep it open and in front of the public.
So where are you going to be in 12 months?
Well, long,
I'll put you on the spot.
Longboat Key, probably. 12 months, we will be way down the road in terms of planning events and getting things orchestrated with the help, again, of the city of Chicago, of Omaha, and the city of Council Bluffs and you know, Larry and Brooke. I am cautiously optimistic that we're going to have things going on down there all the time.
All right. That concludes our noon forum. Our thanks to Don Seidholz for being here today and the rest of the folks who talked.
You've been listening to a luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club on Noon Forum. On today's program, we've heard a talk by Don Seidholz, chairman of the Steering Committee of the Missouri River Commons, a coalition of business, community, government, and philanthropic leaders, whose purpose is the further development of the Omaha Riverfront. Mr. Seidholz talked about the work of the committee and what's in the works for the coming years. He was joined at the podium by Matt Walsh, the mayor of Council Bluffs, and Brooke Bench, Omaha Parks and Recreation Director. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Thursday afternoon, January 19, 2017, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. The Omaha Press Club holds these noontime educational forums each month. The next program will be this Thursday, February 17th at 12 noon. At that time, the guest will be Daniel DeBenke, the Chief Executive Officer of Nebraska Medicine. He'll talk about what changes might be coming to Obamacare and health care in Nebraska now that Donald Trump is the president. If you'd like to attend this or other future programs in the series, call the Omaha Press Club at 402-345-8008. These events are open to both members and non-members of the Omaha Press Club. The Omaha Press Club is located on the 22nd floor of the First National Center, 16th and Dodge in downtown Omaha. Complete Noon Forum listings, as well as an archive of over 600 previous broadcasts, are available on our website, kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.